his sister, and she's a interesting character in and of herself. There's all sorts of rumors about Cimon and his sister, Alpinisi, who was married to Colias, the most wealthy man in Athens. They managed to restore the family fortunes by adroit marriage alliances and commercial engagement transactions. And that family had politically come back into prominence in the 470s, and Cimon had the confidence of the Athenian assembly and was repeatedly elected general. Well, besides that background and the way the Spartans were so impressed by his attitudes towards Sparta, as well as his own personal mannerisms, Cimon had another great advantage to him, and that was he was a good general. And he was very adept at leading coalition armies. The allies liked him. The allies felt that he commanded in their interest, they shared the booty evenly, and he defeated the Persians handily. Cimon carried out a number of operations in the 470s, and these events are known to us largely through a brief account in Thucydides' first book, which is often known as the Pentakonta Etia, which in Greek means the 50 years. The 50 years between the Persian Wars and the outbreak of the Peloponnesian War. And Cimon spent a great deal of time securing the Hellespont, today we would call it the Dardanelles, the Bosporus, and so the grain route into the Black Sea. He wiped out Persian garrisons on the shores of the regions that the Greeks would call the Thraceward regions, that is, the regions of northern Greece today, the shores, where there were Persian garrisons at Aeon, on the Strymon, at Abdera, at other strategic cities like Aenos. All of these Persian garrisons left over from Xerxes' invasion were removed, and these areas were enrolled as members of the Delian League. On the island of Scyros, he wiped out a den of pirates and reputedly found the bones of Theseus. Theseus, the legendary hero of Athens, associated with Theseus and the Minotaur and Ariadne. Theseus, the original cad of Greek legend, where he left her sleeping on the island of Naxos. Although Ariadne didn't too badly, she ended up marrying Dionysus and became a goddess. But Theseus was nonetheless regarded as the ancestral progenitor of the Athenians, and one tradition had him dying at the island of Scyros and finding these bones, which reputedly were his and were translated back to Athens and given ritual burial, was a sign of the favor of the gods. And that is no small matter to all of the Greeks. Victory was the gift of the gods. And they looked very carefully for what they would say is a kairos, an opportunity, an opportune moment, which is the gift of the gods to act politically or militarily in favor of their city. Cimon also carried out operations against rebellious allies. Now, initially, there were certain members of the Delian League who found the arrangements of Aristides a bit onerous. Initially, most of the allies, in my opinion, approved of these measures, because you have to remember, in the 470s and early 460s BC, very few Greeks felt or understood that Persia had really been defeated. And in around 475 BC, the date is disputed, he coerced a city on the island of Euboea, Caristos, a small city, to be enrolled in the Delian League. Essentially, show up, either you join or we trash your city. Sometime around 470 BC, the island of Naxos in the central Aegean decided to defect from the Delian League, and Cimon was called upon to put that rebellion down. Naxos was put under siege, the city surrendered, and measures were taken which would become typical of Athenian treatment of the allies in the future. The walls of Naxos were torn down, a democracy was installed, the navy was taken away from Naxos, and Naxos was enrolled in the Delian League as a tribute-paying member, that is, in effect, as a taxpayer. Well, that type of action would eventually reduce the entire of the Delian League into the Athenian Empire. But in 479 BC, most of the allied states rallied to Cimon's side to carry out this action because Naxos was seen as violating those oaths sworn some 6 or 7 years earlier when they threw the iron overboard. So in that sense, Cimon had a great deal of popularity still. Nonetheless, Cimon faced a couple of long-term problems with his policy. For one, I always found that his position as the friend of the Athenian demos, that is, the friend of the electorate, was always provisional at most.